Morning. Is everyone out this morning? Everybody looks good and rested. Seems like we were just here a few hours ago. We had a good time last night. Appreciate the opportunity to go, and we had a good time of fellowship. And when you're around somebody late at night, you really get to know them. And Brady really got talking about midnight. We had a good time, and which for me, it's always a little bit loud, but I was sitting there thinking last night as I was watching, and you don't have to be too observant to figure out that that's not much my cup of tea, that loud music. But as I was looking around and trying to work through all of my thinkings and figure out what's going on there, and you see a bunch of teenagers that's got their hands raised praising God. It may not be what I like, but it can't be a bad thing. There was the gospels presented. There was, I don't know how many lives was truly changed, but there was professions. So thank God for that, that people are still willing to preach and to sing the gospel, although it may be ways that I don't like and others may not see. But God's got a way of reaching people sometimes we can't understand. I ask you to be much in prayer for those around us. There's a lot of people hurting this today, a lot of people struggling with sicknesses and different things, and I'm not even going to start to name them all. We've just got a lot in our church that's affected by different issues going on in their lives. We all have problems. I wouldn't want you to raise your hands, but I dare to say there's nobody in here that doesn't have some type of problem, whether it be a health problem, a financial problem, or a family problem or something. We all have problems, but thanks God we've got one that can solve problems. We've got the great physician. We've got the been given a book on finances, been given a book on marriages, been given a book on how to live and how not to live. We've been given everything, and we have no excuse today. So we should be a thankful people. We should be thankful for what God has given us and what he's blessed us with. Do we have any prayer requests before we pray? Remember Johnny, he had surgery. Also remember Misty's dad, as he had heart surgery also. He is recovering, I think, pretty well. Some kidney problems, is that right, Lee? Got some kidney issues, not going like they want to right now, so remember him. There's also many more. Miss Frida, continue to remember her, her family. There's just so many. Yesterday we went to a benefit for Morgan Ward from Ramburn. I think she's having a few little setbacks, but they raised a good bit of money for her yesterday to try to help some. So y'all be in much prayer for her and her family as she continues to recover. And just thank God that she's alive. She was real close to leaving there, but wasn't time. Have any others before we pray?
Sheila.
Yes. She's recovering from, was it hip surgery? Recovering from hip surgery. Any others? I ask you to pray for our service this morning. Brother Terry will be bringing our message. Looking forward to hearing him and what God's prepared through him. I ask you to honestly pray for him. If you've never stood in this place, you don't know what goes on in your heart and in your mind and your thoughts as you begin to deliver a message that God has, and I can say this because I've stood there since 2008 of preaching God's word, that men that's got a call on them to preach or teach or do anything with the gospel is tempted in a special way that other people will never understand. It's not an excuse. It's not a oh me and a whining time and to say we're anything special, but there's something that comes against you can't even understand until you stand in this position. So I ask you to pray for him, pray earnestly for him, because I know what he goes through and the struggles that we deal with. Do we have any unspoken? If you would, raise your hand. Father, we come today thanking you for your day, this day you've given us again. God, we thank you for each one that's gathered in this house. Father, I pray we get everything off of our heart and minds for just a little bit, and that we truly focus on worshiping a risen Savior. Father, we're coming upon the time of year when we celebrate the resurrection. God, I ask that we celebrate it every day and understand the importance of serving a risen Savior. Lord, I ask you to touch each one of these prayer requests that was made in a special way. God, touch them. Father, those that are hurting today, I ask you to comfort them. I pray that they can only find comfort in one thing, and that's your word, and that's you. God, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask you to touch our singers this morning as they sing. let us just have a great time. Most of all, we ask your Spirit would be in our midst. If he's not here, there's nothing we can accomplish. God, we thank you for all these blessings, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us this morning.
Seek for a country. Yeah.
Music this morning. It's we're blessed with great singers here, and I surely appreciate them and the music they sing, the message that's in those songs. Most of you know it's St. Patrick's Day today, and this is about as green as I've got for a dress shirt, and the girls argued all the way down here, is it green or blue? But I told them I said it was green, I'm the boss, so it's green. So St. Patrick, I begin thinking about it, and it's an example of how we have taking something that was meant to be good and it's turned all backwards today. But St. Patrick, there was a lady there from Wren Collective last night who was Irish. They're from Ireland. And they asked her one of the things, if you got in early and paid that extra money, you got to hear a few question and answer things. And somebody asked her about St. Patrick's Day in Ireland. She began to tell the story of St. Patrick, how he used the shamrock, the three leaves on it, to present the gospel to Ireland. And the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. The three in one. And it's truly amazing how God used him to turn that. But the sad thing is of what today has turned into, you see the cities that will have the favorite alcoholic beverage turn green and different things to celebrate a day that they don't really understand what they're celebrating. The man preached the gospel. He gave his life to bring good news to Ireland. Nothing to do with what they've turned into today. So that's a whole nother sermon. We've got Terry preaching for us today. Brother Terry, come on and preach what the Lord's laid on your heart. I appreciate Terry, and those of you that is in our Wednesday night class knows how much study this man puts into the Scripture. He truly studies the Word of God and is one of the best teachers I've sat under, and I appreciate him and thank him for answering the call to preach God's words. Brother Terry, we love you and appreciate you.
Thank you.
Let's preach what the Lord's laid on your heart.
One of the things I heard saw in the song was the fact that Jesus is above all.
Amen.
Nothing I can say or nothing really that I can do will make that any more evident. it won't make it any more relative, or it won't make it any more true. There's those who have Jesus and those who do not.
Amen.
There's none that, I mean, we don't get to a point where, well, I'm almost. You know, who was it? Paul that was talking to the man, and he said, "Paul, almost you persuade me."
Amen.
Well, now, we don't really know if he persuaded him totally or not, or fully. We'll know one day, maybe. But we don't know now. But there, we do know from what the Bible teaches us that there are those who are saved and those who are unsaved.
Amen.
And that's really the bottom line. Our scripture today is in John 4. And it starts with the first verse in John. And it is, a little caption in my Bible is, "Jesus and the woman of Samaria." Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. And he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, which to us is 12 o'clock in the day. Jesus was, he was weary and thirsty. Now that brings, that first little line right there about him being weary and thirsty, that brings us to the fact that he was totally and completely human. He could feel the same things that we feel. And he did feel the same thing. We have never, or never will, we hope, on this earth, feel the pain and suffering that he felt, because he took the sins of the world on himself. That was what he felt at one time. So let's look at Hebrews 4:15 and we'll see what it says about his humanity. Hebrews 4:15. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Now, we can't ever hope to reach that, ever being without sin on this earth, as long as we live. But we can know by the scriptures, which we believe, that Christ lived a perfect life, even though he was tempted in every way we can be tempted. And we don't have to fall to temptation. We don't have to give in to temptation. Because we identify with Christ. We're Christians. We don't fall for that. We don't fall for the tricks of Satan. But we do. Sometimes we do. We sin. But we know that we can have recovery through Christ. He died for our sin. Now that means a lot of things. It's not only the definition of dying for the sins. It's not just when you become a Christian. Yes, that's the time that we come to know him. But there are many times in our life, in fact, every day, We need to call upon Him to forgive us of our sins. Amen. Every day, because we sin every day.
Right.
There's none of us that don't. Jesus, he was tired and thirsty, and His humanity part of it was showing. He sat down at that well. Oh, He was hot and thirsty and tired. But He wasn't at the well by Himself too long. This woman walked up, a Samaritan woman, came over to draw water. And the first thing Jesus said to her, He said, give me a drink of water. He asked her for some. So she really didn't know exactly what to say. I mean, why was she there? We have to look at why was she there at that time of day to know why she didn't exactly know how to reply to Him. She was there at 12 o'clock in the day, the hottest part of the day. And everybody usually came early in the morning when it was cold to get their water, or they came late in the afternoon when it was cooler to get their water. She came in the day. Now, why? Why'd she come? Well, she had been ostracized by her own people. And she had no friends. She had nobody to look after her, nobody to help her get the water or anything else. So she had come to draw water in the middle of the day, and there was Jesus sitting there. And she did not know who He was. At that time, He had not revealed Himself. But He began to talk to her. And she began to answer back things. She said, you don't even have anything to get water in, and you want me to give you a drink of water. Now, the reason that was such an emphatic thing was that the Jews and the Samaritans, a Jew would never, ever think of drinking out of a utensil that a Samaritan had. They wouldn't do it. It was just something that they didn't do. So there she was. She said, she was thinking, well, if I draw you up some water, you're going to have to drink out of one of my utensils, and you're asking me for water? So then Jesus said, He asked her for water, and I'm sure she was willing to get Him some, because she didn't run into many people through the thing, but Jesus began to tell her about herself, which I'm sure was pretty surprising, and it may have alarmed her a little bit, and it may have humbled her a little bit. But he told her, he said, he asked her, he said, why are you here by yourself? So she said, he began to tell her about herself. She said, I have no one. She said, you have five husbands. You have had five husbands. And the person that you live with now is not your husband.
Amen.
He laid it down. He laid down exactly what her life was like. And she understood that he was a special person at that time. She was surprised when Jesus asked her for a drink, and she had been ostracized by her community, and normally people did not converse with people of her status. But Jesus was talking to her even, and he had got further enough into talking to her to tell her about her life. And he was exactly right, and she understood that, and she was awed by it. And he didn't have anything to drink. This also puzzled her a little bit by the fact that he didn't have anything to drink out of, but he'd ask her for water. So she was she was a little bit not really understanding about the whole situation right at that time. And on over in the chapter chapter 4, verse 26, we see that Jesus tells her there, he says, I who speak to you am he. Now, before that, she had said, I know that God is coming back one day. I know that she went over all the things that the Jewish people and the Samaritans both believed. She went over those things and told him about it. And she said the Messiah one day is coming. She had been taken to meetings, or she had been told through ever what means they had at that time that a Messiah was coming. And she believed it. But her life was not such that it reflected the fact that she believed it was God. So like we said a while ago, you know, there's none that come. It does not matter how close you get to salvation. If you don't get salvation through Jesus, you do not have it. Amen. And that probably was her problem. She had thought about it, but she would fall back like we would do. And we still do, even when we have Christ, but we have that assurance that we can never lose our salvation, and we don't ever lose it. But there she was with Jesus himself, and until he told her, she didn't know. But what did she do after he told her? And after he left, the disciples came back. They had the food and everything. He gave her... After he told her, he said, I who speak to you am he. I'm the one that you've been waiting for. I'm the one that you're talking about. I'm the one that you have been hearing about, that's the Messiah that's coming back. I'm him. Amen. So, I mean, think of it. How would you have reacted when Jesus said that to you? Well, I don't think that the only people that Jesus ever condemned in his speech were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. They were all Jewish people. You won't find in the Bible where he condemned other people. Of course, we're already condemned. That's what Jesus knew. When a person is born into this world, until they know Christ, they're condemned. After one reaches the age of accountability and understands right and wrong, then there's no person after they reach the age of accountability and understands that they're sinful that is automatically adopted into the family of God. They're not. We bring our little children, our babies, to church. We start bringing them when they're little, and we teach them. We talk to them about Jesus all up until they come to what we hope they come to know Christ. That's why we do it. That's why we bring them here. Amen. But you know, in a way, a person who does not know Christ, they're like a child. In God's eyes, they're like a child, because they are a lost person and they don't know salvation. Now, the true definition of salvation is Christ. If you could say it in one word, it's Christ.
Amen.
Salvation is Him. What He did on the cross and how He lived a perfect life on this earth is the definition of salvation. There's no other words that can cover salvation that you don't put Jesus in. Because he has to be at the head of salvation. We bow down to Him. And we recognize the fact that He died for our sins. And we recognize the fact that through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the indwelling of the Spirit, that there is no other way to salvation besides Him. If you don't believe that, you don't have salvation. It's that plain and simple. And I'm not being judgmental to anybody. If somebody tells me they're a Christian, I believe they are, because that's their testimony. That's what they're saying. And my prayer is that there, if there is one here, that they would come to know Him today.
Amen.
That's what we as other, that's what we as Christians want. We love to see that. We love to see people come to Christ, because we know the other side of not knowing Him. We know it. We know what it's like. We know what we think. We know that after we study the Bible and we begin to understand what it's like not knowing Christ, we want everybody to know Him, if that could be. We do know that God is not without any knowledge. God the Father has all knowledge. God the Holy Spirit has all knowledge. And Christ has all knowledge. They don't wonder about anything. Christ never wondered about anything. Now, in his humanly body, He felt just like we feel sometimes. Except He had no sin. But He got tired. He hurt. He was hungry. He was sleepy. But He was always God. There never was a time He wasn't God. The Bible tells it, tells it like this. It says He emptied Himself of His godliness. But it does not say he wasn't God anymore for a while. He's always been God. He'd never ceased to be God, but he humbled Himself and He lowered Himself to the level of mankind so that He could feel what we feel. And that He could identify with any temptation that we ever have and have ever had. And He still does that for us. Hebrews 4:15, we read a while ago. He has the same feeling. He has had the same feeling that we have when He was here on this earth. You know, he went without food 40 days. When He was tempted by Satan, every temptation that Satan could think of, that he could tempt Christ with, He did it. He even tempted Him with giving Him everything on earth. And what does that leads us to believe that Satan, God has given him much, much power on this earth. Giving him much power on the earth. And he uses it. So we as Christians, we must be on guard. But anyway, we see that he talks about living water. Living water. That's what he tells the woman there at the well. He says, I can give you living water. And so naturally, I mean, if somebody come up to you, talk to you about, I'm going to give you living water. I mean, if you were not a Christian and if you lived at that time and you had been taught that would, you'd wonder about that. You'd want to know more about it. So the entire chapter of the fourth chapter of John makes clear that this living water is nothing less than eternal life.
Amen.
That's what the living water that Christ has to offer is, eternal life. And it, furthermore than that, not only is it living water, but it is the only living water. Because through Christ is the only way to that living water. And it's the only way to salvation. There is no other way. There's never been another way. Even before Christ came, all back through the Old Testament, they looked forward to Christ coming. And when he did come, what did the man that held him up, that God had given him, extended his life so he could see the Christ? When he saw him and God laid on his heart and revealed to him that he was the Christ, then he said, "It's finished now. I'm ready to go." Because he knew what was going to take place and what had taken place. Salvation to the world had come. And that's what he was so excited about. The woman at the well did not understand at first. How could Jesus provide better water than what was in that well? She went ahead to tell him all about that well, how Jacob had dug it and how they watered everything from it. But Jesus told her about the water that wasn't physical water. It wasn't the water that she was going to drink out of that well. It was the water of eternal life and abundant. It was a never-ending sustenance from God Himself. The living water. That's what it is. It endures and will live forever. Once we come to know Christ, it lasts forever. I'm talking about on out in eternity. It begins right then when we come to know Him, but it lasts on through the rest of our life on this earth, and then eternity, as far as never ending, goes on after we leave this world. That's why we appreciate it and love it so much, because it's not only here, but it's after we leave this life. Then we have eternal life, further eternal life with Him. We'll be in His presence then. Not just a need of the moment. That's what we get when we drink the earthly water. We get what we need for that minute. We're thirsty, hot. We take a drink of water, it satisfies us. A lot of people nowadays they want to get water they buy in a plastic bottle. Me, I like to go to my faucet. It comes right out of the well. That's the kind I like to drink. But that doesn't make any difference. It's that living water that makes the difference. The water that Christ offered her. And when he told her where that water was coming from, she responded. And she could not wait. She didn't wait. She went to tell people in the community. And they knew who she was. And they saw that something extremely important had happened to her. She saw that her need for water had been satisfied for eternity, living water. If we trust anyone or anything else for spiritual life, we'll thirst again. But if we trust in Christ for the living water will never thirst for living water ever again. You don't have to get saved but one time. You can't get saved but one time. You won't get saved but one time. Yes, we may fall back into sin and we need to be come back to Him, but He's always willing. He's always, He will always forgive us of our sin. The greatest verse in these verses probably is when He revealed to her, "I am. I'm Him who you talk about. I'm Him who you're naming. I am the Christ. I am the Savior of the world. I'm the one that the whole world is depending on for salvation." There's lots of things in this. There are many, many, many points that we could read and into and that we could go into and study about in this whole chapter. Really, all you should study all the way from 7 all the way down through 15. Because the water I will give you, it says in verse 14, at the end of it says, "The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So that's the water, what Christ calls the water that He gives. And verse 15 says, "The woman said to Him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water.'" She didn't understand at that point. But after He told her, it says, "The woman said to Him, 'I know that the Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am He.'" So at that point, she understood who Jesus was. He revealed it to her. And that's what a person who speaks the Word of God and preaches the Word of God, that's what he wants everybody that he's speaking to at that time to understand. And that's what I want everybody in here to understand. Christ, He's the living water. He's the only living water. He's the only way to salvation. Amen. There is no other. And that's who we have to trust in for salvation. Right. Thank you all very much for listening. That's all I have. And it gives me great joy to be able to speak and tell of salvation. Amen. And now I know that everybody in here understands what salvation is. If your heart has been touched, if God has softened your heart to the point that you realize that you need salvation, don't put it off. Please receive it whenever He calls you. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate it.
This Pat will come up here and play softly for us. I was thinking as Terry was preaching that about that woman, how the reputation she had. And you have to think of every person who's ever preached or taught the gospel. We all have a past. We all have something you could go to before we come to that well. There was something in our life we wasn't proud of. But if you ever read down, Terry mentioned read through 15, but if you got some time, keep reading. Go all the way through 45, you'll see that it says in verse 39, many of Samaria come to Christ because of that woman's sayings. Many come to Christ. And you read on down a little bit further and you'll figure out something from that woman telling them to come see Jesus. Many people were saved. Not only that, King of Kings and Lord of Lords stayed in Samaria for 2 days. Imagine what he could do in 2 days. If he come to Heflin, Alabama for 2 days, imagine what he could do. But he's here. He's in our presence every day. He's with us. He's there. I thank God for Terry delivering that message, and I ask you to stand. If you would, stand right now. The gospel, when it's given out, you got a responsibility to respond. You respond in one way or the other. You accept it or you reject it. You receive it or you decide not to. You make a choice. Terry's given all a man can do is give out the word of God. And after that's given out, the Spirit of God does the tugging, does the softening of the heart, it does the drawing. And then the end result is man, woman, boy, or girl gets to make the decision if they will receive or reject the message that's been given. So that's what you have at this point, a choice. I pray you make the right choice. She prays and she plays. If you have never asked Jesus into your heart, if you have never been to that well, to that living water, will you come now?